More protests are planned to occur for the length of the high-level week, calling for the freedom of Palestine from occupation and the preservation of the Palestinian identity. Rachel Hamdouin, New York.
Efforts at the international level to recognize and support a Palestinian state have been ongoing for the past 5 decades. These efforts have speeded up in recent weeks as Israel's intensified war on Gaza has prompted more countries to recognize Palestinian statehood.
These recognitions are the result of the blood of our sons and daughters in Gaza, their sacrifices, and the genocide taking place there. They would not have happened without the continuous struggle of our people.
Palestinians say the recognition alone is not enough. Without real international measures to bring an end to their suffering caused by Israel's occupation of their land.
Recognition must empower the Palestinian people to realize sovereignty and full national independence. Israel's membership in international bodies must be suspended, and concrete actions must be imposed to hold the occupying regime criminally accountable.
International acts of recognition of Palestine are seen by many as long overdue, but Palestinians insist these steps must be understood against backdrop of genocide in Gaza and the continuing struggle of thousands of prisoners.
Sadly, the world has shut its eyes and ears to the massacre in Gaza. It demands the release of 45 captives while ignoring tens of thousands of our prisoners, including my son. These double standards must end. The recognition comes in a natural context. Palestine has always existed, with or without recognition, and it will endure through the steadfastness and resistance of its people.
In 1974, the UN General Assembly granted the Palestinian Liberation Organization observer status. That was followed by the symbolic declaration of Palestinian statehood in Algeria in 1988. And in 2012, 138 countries recognized Palestine as an observer state of the UN General Assembly. Similar measures were taken in the years afterwards. Analysts, however, say the real priority today is not more declarations, but halting the genocide, ensuring accountability, and strengthening Palestinian resilience. What Palestinians need today is not more ceremonies or declarations, but a strategy that connects their sacrifices to real accountability, unity, and protection under international law. Recognition alone will not stop genocide or displacement. Naqa Hamid, Ramallah, Occupied West Bank.
Outside the Palestinian mission in London, history in the making. The iconic Palestinian flag raised, preceded by an impassioned speech by the country's ambassador, flanked by British politicians.
This moment is not only about Palestine. It is also about Britain and the British government's solemn responsibility. It is about ending the denial of the Palestinian people's inalienable right to freedom and self-determination. And it is an acknowledgement of a historic injustice.
The ceremony follows the UK's recognition of Palestine as a state, aligning Britain with more than 140 countries worldwide.
This is now officially the Palestinian embassy in London, the country's flag atop this pole for the first time since the UK's recognition of the country. It is a symbolic but powerful moment, the participants here say, one that affirms a nation's struggle for self-determination that has gone on for far too long.
But beyond symbolism, questions remain. With the genocide in Gaza ongoing, the West Bank under occupation, and Britain's continued arms sales to Israel, does recognition mean anything?
British government recognizes Palestine carries with it responsibilities. Responsibility not to supply arms to Israel. Responsibilities not to share military information with Israel. And a demand, which we will be intensively making, for full economic sanctions against Israel, including all trade embargoes, until the occupation ends.
In the run-up to the recognition announcement, a YouGov poll found less than half of Britons saying recognition was a good idea, while only 18% disagreed.
I can understand the skepticism and cynicism with the history of this whole area. So I can understand that completely. My role as a parliamentarian and the people that I represent, and which are the good people of this country, and millions of them, will now ensure that they utilize this position to take it to the next step.
At the same time, there are other voices in Britain, like those at this debate in Birmingham, who say while recognition was long overdue, the only way forward is one state, not two.
The two-state proposition is clearly a Zionist talking point. It's designed to kick the can down the road, to continually kick the can down the road, to never, ever be in a situation where such a notion could ever be brought into existence.
For supporters here, today is about hope, solidarity, and international legitimacy. For Palestinians under bombardment, it's a reminder that recognition alone is not liberation. Saeed Pourrezeb, London.
On Monday, hundreds of thousands of people flooded the streets of tens of Italian cities to express their solidarity with the Palestinians who have been suffering from indescribable horrors perpetrated by the Israeli regime. Rallies and demonstrations were held on the occasion of a 24-hour general strike involving the public and private sectors called by a string of base unions. In a joint statement, the unions said the strike was against the genocide in Gaza and the Italian government's supply of weapons to Israel.
Non è più possibile.
Cannot tolerate any longer the crimes that Netanyahu is committing against the Palestinian, and Italy's government is not only doing nothing to stop it, but it is an accomplice.
We said it many times already that we firemen are also UN ambassadors, as you can see from the UNICEF tag on our uniform. And we cannot remain silent in the face of the slaughter of children in Palestine.
Hundreds of thousands of Italians have taken to the streets to voice their outrage at the Italian government for its unconditional support to the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Rallies in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians are being held in more than 80 cities and towns across the Italian peninsula and islands. More than 100,000 people in the Italian capital, Rome, staged a demonstration near Central Station, while dockers in Genoa blocked access roads to the port as part of protests against the Israeli regime's ground offensive in Gaza City. Pro-Palestine rallies were also held in all major Italian cities, including Milan, Bologna, Naples, and Turin.
If our government acts as an accomplice in the face of the Gaza genocide, what sorts of future will lie ahead us?
A new large pro-Palestine demonstration is also slated to take place in Rome on October 4. Max Civili, Rome.
As Israel illegally and brutally invades Gaza City, a noise protest was held at the headquarters of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the powerful pro-Zionist lobbying group. Many are saying that the Holocaust occurring in Gaza City is a shocking new low in Israel's attempted genocide of the Palestinian people, and that immediate support for Palestine is needed to prevent the Western-backed invasion.
It's on the responsibility of everybody, whether you're Palestinian or Arab or American or whatever you may be, all across the world, to come out and show a force in a united action to say that we reject all of these actions by the United States and every other Western complicit country that has allowed the genocide to go on for so long.
This week, Canada and Australia followed the leader of the English Commonwealth in finally recognizing a Palestinian state. But many say that it's an empty safety valve to manipulate their increasingly anti-Israel constituencies and to distract from the Gaza City takeover.
What is the recognition of a statehood if you're not going to actually stop the killing of our people and you're going to keep bankrolling the state of Israel to keep killing those people? There's no point in having a state if there's no people to live with it. And right now, the people of Gaza are being exterminated and being genocided. And so that's the need that we need to address, not just some fake statehood announcement by all these complicit countries.
This is definitely an attempt to try and silence the masses, to try and distract them from their original want and their demand of an arms embargo, and also try and protect themselves in their own image, because they can say, you know, oh, but we recognize the Palestinian state. But what does that mean for the actual people in Palestine when their land is being stolen every day, when there's still U.S. bombs being dropped from them, when the U.K. and Canada are still helping to send weapons?
What's next for Israel's genocide? It's being reported that aid officials working in Gaza have been warned against investing time or resources in the central refugee camps, which house hundreds of thousands of families, as they plan to invade the refugee camps after Gaza City.
After 6 weeks of fighting, some 300,000 Palestinians have left Gaza City, with nearly 1 million unwilling or unable to leave. Many say they know that if they do leave, Israel will steal their homes and not allow them to return. Ramin Mazahiri, Washington, D.C.
First ever wrestling double for Iran in Zagreb. Freestyle champions and now Greco-Roman wrestlers have sealed it early with a dominant show, bringing pride and joy back home.
After the glorious achievements of Iran's wrestlers, they have lifted the nation's spirit. We clearly see people's happiness in society. Everyone felt proud. Like that beautiful phrase printed on the wrestlers' singlets, "My life for Iran," with that same spirit, Iran's flag is truly precious to us.
Iran's Greco-Roman team, with a striking and dominant display, managed to secure their championship early with 3 golds, 1 silver, and 1 bronze across 7-day categories. They sealed their victory a full day before the competition ended. Meanwhile, the freestyle team also shone, earning 2 golds, 2 silvers, and 3 bronzes to win the 2025 Zagreb Championship. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has also congratulated the victories of the Iranian wrestlers, saying, "I congratulate the young champions in Greco-Roman wrestling competitions. Steadfast determination of you and also your brothers in freestyle wrestling have brought honor to the country. I ask God for your continued success and victories, and I congratulate the athletes, coaches, and officials."
Wrestling runs deep in the culture of Iranian people. Its energy and passion are not just about today's victories. With the potential we have, more young athletes will definitely join the team, and even those training in the most remote corners of the country now have the chance to continue on their path of growth and progress.
The back-to-back victories mark a new chapter for Iranian wrestling, showing both strength on the mat and the promise of a new generation rising behind.
Iran's dominance on the mat is now undeniable, with both freestyle and Greco-Roman squads crowned world champions in Croatia. Ali Reza Akbari, Tehran.
NATO deployed 3 French fighter jets to eastern Poland on Friday as a so-called deterrent against Russia. Many analysts argue that it is the Western alliance's expansion that sparked the conflict in Ukraine. The European Commission has unveiled its 19th sanctions package targeting Moscow's energy, banking and high-tech sectors.
We are working on a new solution to finance Ukraine's defense efforts. This is based on the immobilized Russian assets. We must be very clear, this is Russia's war, and the perpetrator must pay for it.
But inside the European Parliament, critics warn that hard-pressed EU taxpayers are footing the bill.
The EU has spent €169 billion on the war so far, and the new 7-year budget would add another €100 billion. Up to 20% of the EU budget could go to Ukraine.
Some claim that one of the main beneficiaries of the war is the United States. Socialismo.
We used to buy cheap energy from the Russians, and today we are spending €700 billion to buy that same energy from Washington. The EU has also failed on weapons, which we buy from the United States to give to Ukraine.
There's no doubt that natural gas sanctions imposed by Brussels have hit the EU much harder than Russia, leading to soaring European energy costs while Moscow was able to find alternative markets. Then, thanks to high global oil and gas prices, the Kremlin was able to offset the economic squeeze intended by the EU. Several of the EU's 27 government leaders are expected to oppose the bloc's latest sanctions package against Russia.
It remains hard to see how the European Union is going to respond because the member states remain divided over the issue. But 19 rounds of sanctions do not have the effect.
And a growing number of EU lawmakers are questioning double standards, asking why no tough measures have been imposed on Israel over its genocide in Gaza. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
This is this
for
is
a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Educate a child in the way that will guide them best, for a seed shaped rightly will become a mighty tree. Peace and blessings, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to For a Better Life. This is Nahid, having the honor of hosting you on this episode, where we explore timeless principles that elevate our families and communities. Today, our focus is on one of the most profound responsibilities we have, raising children. Children are not only the promise of our future, they are the trust from Allah, entrusted to us to nurture, guide, and prepare for a life of virtue, wisdom, and service. Sadi Shirazi, the Persian prose writer and poet, in the book of Bustan, tells of a father who carefully tended to his child's growth, not only teaching reading and writing, but also teaching him patience, honesty, and respect. He said, "Teach your child manners before letters, for a heart well trained is worth more than knowledge alone." From this, we learn that moral and spiritual education is as crucial as intellectual training. The Holy Book of Quran emphasizes the responsibility of parents in this way, and lower to them the wing of humility out of mercy and say, "My Lord, have mercy upon them as they brought me up when I was small." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had taught us, "The best among you are those who are the best to their families, especially their children." Imam Ali alayhi salam highlights this matter in this way: the child's early education shapes their heart more than their later years. These teachings show that nurturing children is a sacred responsibility, shaping their intellect, character, and faith. Now, what to teach to our children? This might be the biggest question for the minds of all parents. Well, based on the Islamic teachings, the first one can be the teaching of faith and worship, introducing prayer, honesty, and reliance on Allah gradually. Respect and manner can be the other thing, like teaching them kindness to parents, siblings, peers, and elders. The other great characteristic to be taught is honesty and integrity. Modeling truthfulness, children learn mostly from our actions, not our words. So we have to model the kind of truthfulness that we want them to be. Patience and resilience, encouraging problem solving and reflection. Knowledge and curiosity, like stimulating learning, reading, and exploring the world. And the last, not the least, can be teaching them gratitude and generosity, encouraging thankfulness and caring for others. By embedding these values early, we equip our children to become responsible and compassionate adults. Now, what are some tips for our parents and what are some tips for us as the parents? Let's go for a short break, then we're going to discuss them.
مسائل دینی به نقاط عقلانی و ظریف.
Improve your connection with God. Pay attention to logical and detailed points in religious issues and learn them from great masters. There are sentiments in religion, but they rely on deep ideality and deep thought. This thought must be learned.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Welcome back to For a Better Life episode of Children, and what are our responsibilities and what are some tips for me as a parent who wants their children to be improved and learned and educated well based on the Islamic teachings, as I do know that my child is going to be one of the participants of the unknown future of the Islamic community. I mean, the future is not that much well predicted, but I can hope that my child is playing a very crucial role in that generation and in that upbringing of the new generation of Muslims. Now, what are some practical tips for all parents? The first one can be leading by examples. Children mirror our behavior. So what's better than just letting them mirror the good kind of behavior that they can monitor in ourselves as well? The other tip can be encouraging questions. Nurturing curiosity and thinking, like the critical thinking, which is being so well known these days. And it's really fortunate that in the Islamic societies, we see children asking questions about their beliefs, about their the things that they are taught. They are not simply accepting everything, and it shows the improvement, the kind of wisdom spread in our societies. We can also provide a safe environment. Emotional safety fosters confidence, as we all know, and balancing freedom and guidance, allowing the autonomy while setting boundaries and letting the child understand the limitations that they might have, and celebrating effort, not just the result. Teaching our kids that intention and diligence matters more than the outcome. Now, Saadi recounts of a child who grew up learning patience by observing a father's careful tending of his garden. The child later became a wise scholar and a just leader. And this is only the result of the child seeing his father as patient with the trees and with the gardens and the way that he was being protective. This characteristic built in the child created a just leader for the society. Imam Ali alayhi salam also highlighted this matter in this way: raise your children in righteousness, and you raise generations of goodness for humanity. Both examples illustrate that child rearing is not merely a private act, it is rather a social investment. Now, today, children face distractions, social pressure, and fast-changing technology. Teaching mindfulness, ethical decision-making, and respect for faith is essential. We, the parents, should monitor influences without imposing fear. We should encourage healthy communication and emotional intelligence. And we should integrate technology with learning and moral development. Our goal on the Islamic society is the balanced development, intellect, character, and spirituality aligned. We don't want our children to be isolated from the society, not moving, not improving, but rather we want our children well aware of the world, of the even non-Muslim parts of the world. But we do want them to keep their beliefs, to stay aligned with the spiritual beliefs that will even pave their ways towards their job, their future, and the betterment of their lives. So this is very important, that we have to raise our children in the way that they are connected with every part of the world while we had equipped them with the things that they need for a better life, for the things that they need to be aware of, be scared of, and even for the things that they have to make a stand against. Now, dear listeners, raising children is an honor, a challenge, and a spiritual duty. Like a gardener tending a delicate plant, your guidance shapes not only individual lives, but the society itself. Sandy wrote, "A child nurtured in love, virtue, and wisdom becomes a beacon for others." And Imam Ali alayhi salam reminded us, "The responsibility for a child's upbringing is heavier than mountains. Carry it with patience and care." Now, as we part, remember that every act of teaching, guiding, and loving a child resonates beyond time, touching hearts and shaping the future. May your hands be gentle, your words filled with guidance, your heart patient and steadfast, and every action you make echo through every home where wisdom is planted. With that, I wish you great training of the next generation of Muslims. I wish the society a better future with the generation that is wise and aware of everything around. I wish our society peace. I wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there. Be there.
To be Kerman is counted as one of the oldest cities, and it was founded as a defensive outpost with the name Veh Ardashir by Ardashir I, founder of the Sasanid Empire, in the 3rd century AD. Kerman was ruled by Turkmens, Arabs, and Mongols after the 7th century, and was expanded rapidly during the Safavid dynasty. When Marco Polo visited Kerman in 1271, it had become a major trade center linking the Persian Gulf with Khorasan and Central Asia. Ganjadi Khan was the governor of Kerman during the Safavid era. He ruled thousands of cities and towns from Fars province all the way to the city of Herat in today's Afghanistan. During his time, he built lots of public places in the city of Kerman, including this huge square, bazaar, mosque, and a public bath. Kerman's Jame, or Central Mosque, is a part of the Muzaffari Aggregate and was completed in 1345 AD by Amir Mubarizuddin Muhammad Muzaffari Meybudi Yazdi. The mosque is one of the most ancient structures of the country and a remnant of the Iranian monarchs after the Alibuye dynasty. The mosque has a tall gateway in its eastern sector, and the same has been decorated with beautiful tile work. A clock tower aids in the enhancement of this entrance. The structure has been constructed in a symmetrical fashion and has a winter and summer porch. Walking through dark and narrow halls to enter a huge and lighted area is a style in Islamic architecture of the Safavid era to give you the sense of joy and pleasure of entering a place like a public bath, which was not only for personal sanitation, but also for socializing, with people coming, sitting down, smoking hookah and pipe, and talking about social and political issues, or even finding husbands and wives for their kids, back in the old days style. Built in the Safavid period, this courtyard is home to what was once Kerman's most important hammam or bathhouse, the Hammam Ganjali Khan, now restored and transformed into a museum. With the conversion of the population of Iran to Islam, ritual purity through washing one's body became a requirement of religious life. Thenceforth, bathing became an integral part of life. Besides, baths were frequented not only for purity and hygienic reasons, but also for medical purposes. Physicians prescribed taking the waters against a great variety of ailments. Whenever I get a chance to travel to different cities of this beautiful land of Iran, I definitely stop by the bazaar of that city. Not just for shopping, but for the whole experience. Experience of meeting people from different backgrounds, with different ethnicities, different ages, different dialects, and so on. Another part of this experience is the pleasant scent of the bazaar. Smells of colorful and different spices, dried fruits, and even dried dairy products. It's just amazing. A review of Iran's economic and social history indicates that the bazaar has always been a pillar of civic foundations. No town could survive without the bazaar, whether big or small. Some have allegorically described bazaar as the economic heartbeat of the Iranian cities. The ancient Iranian bazaars have gradually evolved into an encompassing section of the town. A bazaar was not a secluded section of the town, but home to a wide spectrum of goods and services sought by the townspeople. Archaeologists could find proofs of the existence of a 6,000-year-old bazaar in a place called Khabis near Kerman, a place which is now called Shahdad. I know you definitely want to know more about Kerman, and I'm not finished exploring this city. So we'll see you soon in the next program about some other attractions of Kerman. Shahriyar Azimi for Iran.
heard the boastful Persian saying that art only belongs to Iranians. With their wide variety in color and patterns, and each motif and design specific to a particular region, Persian carpets are definitely something to boast about. In Iran, carpets have always been both symbolic and practical. A popular design that is often used in this region is called Rizmahi, which means the little fish. Quality craftsmanship is the name of the game, and the painstaking procedure of knotting, invented by ancient Persians, is a means to reflect a people's identity. It may take a group of up to 15 carpet weavers nearly a year to create the masterpieces that will be decorating the floors, giving any room warmth and style. Iranians are definitely the masters of weaving. Jojim, which is a kind of thick two-sided cloth, itself can be considered enough evidence to support the boastful statement that art only belongs to Iranians. There was a time when jojim was considered a luxury item, but today it's used for making traditional handbags, something you can take back home as a souvenir from Iran. Jojim is normally 2.5 meters long and 2 meters wide, and although its patterns may vary, the simpler and more common jojim includes stripes 1 to 5 centimeters wide of different colors. Sometimes, to create a checkered pattern, colorful wraps are used. Traditionally, though, jojim is woven on a horizontal loom with colorful fine threads of wool and usually by a single weaver. Both sides of the jojim can be used, which is why it has become a multi-purpose article, often quilted and used as a cover or blanket, and sometimes even spread on the ground. The taste and talent of these people can also be seen through the designs of their earthenware. Pottery is perhaps the earliest and most important invention of mankind in Iran, dating back to the 7th millennium BC. In the small town of Khusf, not much has changed since the invention of the potter's wheel. Symmetry is omnipresent in Persian craftsmanship. The detailed patterns of the 7,000-year-old art of marquetry are no exception. When it comes to decorating your home traditionally, wooden lattice doors and windows with stained glass are things you simply can't miss. The number of wooden pieces needed for each door is striking. It is usually beechwood or sycamore that is considered the best for refined carving at this level. Woodwork like this dates back at least 1,500 years. Some historians say it even dates back to the Sassanid era. So I guess we have to admit that there's at least a little bit something to the Persian old saying that art only belongs to Iranians. Gisu Misha Ahmadi for Iran.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Good morning to you all. Greetings from Tehran, Iran. You are listening to Iran Radio. I'm your presenter for the next hour. We start this hour's lineup with Let's Recite the Holy Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2 that will be followed by our varied radio productions feature. Then it's time for our final program this hour, Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. Stay with us for the next hour.
Let's recite the Quran.
القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام، يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners listening to IRIB English Radio right now from all over the world. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran in Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm Habibullah Fasihzadeh, together with brothers Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Muhammad Masum, right? So everyone is here. I really welcome you all. Inshallah, today we will be practicing two verses from Surah Ar-Ra'd, Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 28 and verse 29 on page 252. The bottom of the page, right?
And 53.
Yeah, top of the page. So this ayah 28 is the last ayah on page 252, and the ayah 29 is on the top part of page 253. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله، ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
Those who have believed and done righteous deeds, a good state is theirs and a good return.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. So, guys, verse 28, Allah Almighty says here, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah explains the people who were mentioned in the previous ayah, ayah 27. Look at the last part of ayah 27. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. Those who turn to Allah penitently. So who are they? They are الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are the people who have faith. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And their hearts find rest, find peace in the remembrance of Allah. Then Allah says, أَلَا. Oh, remember. Listen. The hearts find peace in Allah's remembrance. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Yep. This yes. is a very beautiful ayah. This is a very beautiful ayah. Guys, sometimes I have seen, like I've watched the interviews of a lot of people. They are like millionaires, okay? They're so famous. They're so, they have a lot of money, rich. When the host asks him that, do you feel like you're a successful person? Do you feel like you have a happy life? Like, no problems in your life? Says, no. Directly says, no. We don't have that happiness that we are looking for. And why is that? Does that, like, the money that they have, millions and billions of dollars that they have, that does not bring them that happiness? So I can give you this answer, that this money can give them a temporary enjoyment that we mentioned in Ayah 20. وما الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع. The money that they have gives them a short and temporary enjoyment. All right? The paint house that they have, whatever. The villas that they have, whatever they have, they give them a short enjoyment. For example, I'm looking for to have my best building. Okay? So I go and I construct my tower and it's over. I go live there. The highest amount of enjoyment that I can have is like for some months there. Then it will be something normal for me. Then I will be looking for something new. Something new. Okay? So that means that tower that you constructed did not bring you the happiness that you were looking for. You constructed that and you started living there, but still you feel like something is missing. Something is missing. Thank you so much. That's it. There are too many points. You need to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more about them. Let's practice the Tajweed points. Masum, would you please recite the first ayah? Inshallah, the next ayah, Hassan will recite it to us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
What a voice. Nice. MashaAllah.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
أحسنتم. MashaAllah. Thank you so much. I really enjoy it. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. That was a nice recitation. Masum, I really enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed mine as well. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن. This is a bit tricky. Look. Say it, everyone. Oh, no. Tat, no.
Tato.
Ahsantum. Tato. Tato. So, ta-ta. Ta-ta. This, it's a bit tricky, okay? Tato. Some people replace the ta and ta. They say, tat. Tat ma in qulub. That's, wrong. Tato ma in. And noon has a shad. You have to, wait. Tato. It has an echoing sound as well. That's called? Noon has got a shadda. So you have to extend the sound of noon. So remember, noon, whenever noon carries a shadda, whenever meem carries a shadda, these two letters, whenever they carry a shadda, you have to extend the sound. And also pronounce them with a
nasal
sound. How do you do that? Hussein, read it. See, the sound comes from your nose. It comes from your nose. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Next one, قلوبهم ends with a meme, that's ساكن. قلوبهم, meme ساكن. It's followed by the letter ب, بذكر الله. So whenever meme ساكن is followed by the letter ب, what rule is applied?
إخفاف ميم.
إخفاف ميم, mashallah. How do you say that? قلوبهم بذكر الله. So you could make a pause here because, let me ask Hassan, do I have to make a pause or I am allowed to make a pause or better to make a pause or better to continue? Which one?
It's the Riyav Qila that says it's better to make a pause.
Better to make a pause, but so I can continue, right?
Yes.
better to make a pause. That's why Ma'asum made a pause here, okay. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. The same rules. Easy. So, Hassan, would you please recite the next ayah?
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ تُوبَى لَحُمْ وَحُسْنُوا مَابِ.
See, that was good, but you changed some of the letters. See, you said طُوبَى لَحُمْ حُمْ وَحُسْنُوا مَابِ. You replaced ha with ha.
Yes.
So the first one is lahum ha, a soft one. Just breathe out. Lahum. That one. Lahum. Okay? Not lahum. It's not lahum. It's not meat, okay? Lahum in Arabic. Lahum. Lahum. Wahusnu ma'ab. This is ha, the one that you pronounce with a little pressure. Lahum. Sorry, I'm saying lahum. Lahum. Wahusnu ma'ab. Okay? I made the same mistake. Okay. الذين آمنوا. You say الذين آمنوا. آمنوا no. This is Hamzatul قطع. So when you say Hamzatul قطع, you should give a cut. آمنوا. Okay, this sound should be there. الذين آمنوا وعين عملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب. حسن مآب. Okay, I will recite this ayah. Oh wait, the last point. مآبين. When you stop, how do you say that? Apply the rule قلقلة. مآب. Echo the sound. So I will recite these two verses. Listen and repeat, everyone. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
طوبى لهم وحسن مآب.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. Stay with IRB English Radio. Every day, inshallah, we'll be here with you talking about one of the verses of Surah Al-Ra'd and so on. That's it from us for today. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, and Muhammad Masum. Thank you so much for being with us. See you in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala صلي على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran.
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Chased by wolves, followed by a hawk. On the battlefield, you took your final walk. It took my breath when you said goodbye. But then again, heroes never die. Your final words were stay the course. Trust in God, the everlasting source. Don't give in to the enemy's plots. Resist with faith, go against the odds. Your way I follow, oh my hero. Unbreakable soul, unstoppable power. Until the last breath, you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice. Make you the hero we'll remember forever. Your blood was spilled, but it nourished my roots. I then became a tree with many fruits. The fruits are love, courage, and resolve. You've made me a soldier, so you I salute. Your way I follow, oh my hero. Unbreakable soul.